Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know why, but even in a win a week ago when the Jets beat the Texans, the Malachi Corley play has still stuck with me. It's bothered me. It felt like a typical embarrassing LOL Jets moment in a primetime game. So even though they overcame it, which I'm thrilled about, the play has stuck with me. And so Malachi Corley met the media today, and coming up at exactly 3:15, I want to play what he had to say and get Tiki's response because it didn't make me feel better. So that's certainly coming up. We opened this show talking about Juan Soto and how, to me, there's no amount of years and there's no amount of money that would scare me off from re-signing him if I'm Hal Steinbrenner and the New York Yankees. There's no excuse. Same for the Mets, but even more so for the Yankees. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Mike is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's up, Evan and Tiki? How's everything going, buddy?
Good, dude. Good, man. What's up?
First of all, let me ask you something. All these Yankee fans that are calling up and not wanting Soto to be on their team, I hope wherever they work, they have a good medical plan because they better use it. That's the first thing. Are they, like, insane? I mean, Soto is a generational talent. 25. He just turned 26 years old.
Well,
and Judge is 32.
Yeah.
You're gonna put them together for the next 3 to 5 years, where Judge is in the middle of his prime, going towards the end, he's gonna be gone, and Soto's gonna have another 10 years where he's gonna be a stud. That's the first thing. And second thing, people talking about Ohtani's money. Let me tell you something. That contract's gonna be garbage. $700 million. The guy's only thrown 170 innings, the most in his whole career.
Right.
And now he's coming off of. Now he's got a hit. And pitch. You think his hitting ain't going to suffer?
Well,
go look at his stats.
No, Mike, I agree with you, and we said this earlier. I'm very skeptical that he's going to be much of a pitcher. Mm-hmm. My rationale, though, a year ago, when I wanted Ohtani, I don't want to lie, like I didn't want him, was I'll take the risk that he never pitches, thinking, hey, I'm getting a top-line slugger who's going to be overpaid.
Right.
That's how I viewed it.
He had surgery before, didn't he?
Yes. He missed the entire... I think he missed 2 years pitching besides this year.
Right.
So,
it's been a lot. I know we keep talking about the pitching side of this, but it's been a lot of his Major League Baseball career where he hasn't actually pitched.
Correct.
He's just been a ridiculously talented and now a 50-50 guy, 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases last week with the Dodgers, hitter. And he's great at it.
Well,
he never plays the field, but who cares?
And I'd even argue, like, he's pitched 3 years, sort of full years in the major leagues,
mm-hmm.
and they weren't even real full seasons.
Yeah.
23 starts in 21, 28 starts in 22, which I'd say is a full year.
Right.
And then 23 starts 2 years ago. So, but again, I wanted him under the guise of, I hope he pitches, and even if he doesn't, okay, I'll have an overpaid slugger.
Yes.
So I was willing to do it. But I don't think that should penalize how much you're willing to pay Juan Soto. And what I always find confounding, and I battle this even on lower-level free agents, like Corbin Burns, I use him as an example, and he's not even a lower-level free agent, he's just not Juan Soto. I was doing a Rico last night about him. I want him on the Mets. But
Corbin,
what's my cutoff with years and money?
Yeah.
And as I even think about that, I'm like, well, why do I even care that much about the money in the years? Like, this is an uncapped sport.
Yeah, I think the only thing that you care about is if you sign him to a long-term deal, say like 6 years or 7 years, and he really only gives you 2.
Right.
And it's like, man, we're just sitting here with this useless asset.
Right.
That's the
But you can overspend it when you have an owner willing to spend.
I was going to say, not even that. Forget the owners. You're right about that. But with a pitcher, you really feel that.
Yeah.
I think with a hitter, like, what's the likelihood of that happening?
Well, it hasn't happened in his major league career. He plays.
That's what I mean.
So there's less risk with him.
It's less risk with a hitter than it is with a pitcher. A pitcher could just have a Tommy John, maybe have it again, and all of a sudden he's just done. And just he loses velocity, has zero command,
right,
and never finds himself again.
You're right about that, but I question myself because I even said this last night about Burns, who I want. And we've barely talked about Corbin Burns on WFAN because it's like, he's not Juan Soto, who cares? He's just the best pitcher available. But I remember even saying this last night. I was like,
yeah,
you know what?
He's 32.
He's 31.
31, whatever.
But nevertheless.
Right.
I'd go 5 years, six would make me nervous. And as I said that, I'm like, what the hell's the difference? Like, okay, I'm good with five, which is risky in its own right, but six I'm walking away from. I always find that odd. Like, why is that the cutoff?
Even though you had a 40-year-old pitcher 2 years ago.
But I didn't give them five-year contracts. I gave them short-term contracts.
For a heck load of money.
Look, it is giving starting pitchers a lot of years is a very risky proposition.
Right. Doesn't matter how old they are, to be honest with you.
It doesn't. Like, Corbin Burns has thrown less innings than Gerrit Cole when Gerrit Cole got to free agency, and the Yankees gave him a 10-year contract, and so far we're halfway through it, and it's been pretty good. Corbin Burns just turned 30, to be exact, so he's a little bit younger than we were saying, and he's went out and made every start. So I have all the belief that he would be able to give you three or four good years, but then who knows, because he's a starting pitcher. But ultimately, in an uncapped sport, like, go get me the best players. Like, why is the cutoff 4 years okay, but that fifth year I can't do? And with Juan Soto, like you pointed out, is even worse because in Soto's case, he just has a track record of staying healthy, and I have every reason to believe that's going to stay the same.
Right.
Let's go to Corey in Edison, New Jersey. How are we doing today, Corey?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Thank you.
So, you know, I think all Yankee fans, you know, of course, want Soto back, but I think it's reasonable to say if the price is getting up to $70 million, that if you take that money and were to give it to three all-star level players instead, I don't think that's a crazy.
Well, it's not going to get to 70. That's never going that high. It may get to 50, 55, but I don't think it's going to 70. I said 60 only because I was comparing him to the top paid athletes in other sports, but it's never going to get to 70.
You're right, but let me counter you with this, all right? And I'm going to use these two guys because they're the known quantities. You said, well, you'd be better with multiple players. If the Yankees lost Juan Soto and they signed Alex Bregman and Pete Alonso, are they really better?
No, I don't think because I don't think Bregman's an ascending player,
but that's the point. Like, hold on. That's
Alonso,
the point. But who else are you getting? So that's the point. You think Alonso and Santander are better than Juan Soto and whoever else you have playing first base? If you think that, respectfully, you're nuts. You're just nuts. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Like, Anthony Santander, nice player. Alex Bregman, nice player. Pete Alonso, I love the man, nice player. If you actually think that I get two of them,
yeah, but
they're not better.
But I think what he's saying is you get dual production at multiple spots.
So no one is playing third base? So because you re-signed Juan Soto, third base is empty. Sean Morash is playing third base? If people play that game, they forget that. Right. Someone's playing third base, and that human being, even if he's not as good as Alex Bregman, is a major leaguer. And I hate war, but I'm going to use it anyway. Juan Soto had like an 8 war last year. Bregman was 4. Alonso was 2.5.
I didn't know Caleb Durbin is not going to have an 8 war.
It could be Caleb. It could be anybody. DJ LeMahieu. Like, whoever you have.
Stop saying DJ LeMahieu. He is not playing another game for the New York Yankees.
This really triggers
me. I don't know why
it?
You I said mean, it.
Because he took batting practice every day in the World Series. That's why it's bothering Sean.
It was so idiotic yesterday, I let it slide. He's saying it again today like it's a chance. He's gone. He's done.
He's under contract this year and next. Those are the facts.
Evan, they made up an IL stint to make him go away because he stunk so bad. They're not going to then enter opening day with him as the third baseman.
What was his IL stint? What was it?
I forgot, but it was something we all knew was ridiculous.
He was on the World Series. Was he? No, he wasn't on the World Series roster.
No, he wasn't on any roster.
So if he was still on the IL, he was out there looking pretty good, smashing home runs in batting practice.
They're not putting him on that roster.
Sean, my point is not Caleb Durbin, DJ LeMahieu is.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated.
where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Aldo Cabrera. I don't know who the Yankee third baseman will be. Obviously, the guy won't be as good as Alex Bregman, but I'm telling you, Soto and whoever the mystery man is versus Pete Alonso and Anthony Santander or Pete Alonso and Alex Bregman? No, I respectfully, I think you guys are dead wrong.
You're not
better that way.
No, you're
not
right.
I'm not even espousing it. I'm just
saying.
That's
what our last caller said.
Of course he is, but I think what he's trying to say is that if you get two quality players and one of them is really good, not like Soto great, but he's really good, collectively, it makes your lineup longer.
But do you think you're better? Like, overall. Like, I don't think you're better.
You're not. And this is a message. And Yankee fans, think what you want to think. You're coping and you're trying to pre-cope because you are scared the Mets might sign him. The Yankees, even if the Mets sign him, they're not better. And let's get out in front of this now and stop pretending and stop hiding in our feelings that this will be somehow a good thing. It won't be.
I'm proud of you, Sean. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Because I think you're speaking the truth right now. Don't be afraid. No one knows how this is going to play out, okay? But let's just all be honest today on November 7th. We don't have to lie. You're not better off if you're the Yankees or the Mets missing out on Juan Soto. It doesn't mean you can't win the World Series. Like I said, interesting stat. Every team since 2020 has not had Juan Soto on the team that won the World Series. So it can be done, but your road's more difficult. You are a better team, and it is easier to build your team when you have great players. And talking yourself into it by, well, I can sign 2-3 quality players. Okay. And you think that's better than Soto and the other guys that would be playing those positions? You're wrong. And I love Pete Alonso. Alonso and Bregman versus Soto and whoever you play at third base? No. I'm sorry. You're not better.
Yeah.
It's not true.
Can't argue with you.
Thank you. Well, we may argue right now because Malachi Courtley met the media today. And I did not like what Malachi said. But I want to play it for Tiki. Tiki has purposely not listened to this yet because I wanted to hear this honestly. I wanted him to hear it for the first time. And honestly, tell me what he thinks. Cut number one. Malachi Courtley is asked, obviously, about dropping the football on that touchdown run, which should have been a touchdown run, right before the end zone. And the question was very tough to pick up. I surmised it was about coaching and making sure this doesn't happen again. And here is what Malachi Courtley said in terms of that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just scored 200-plus touchdowns in my career, you know, and never once dropped the ball in the end zone, you know. So there's not too many coaching points to take away from that other than just, you know, hold another 6 inches, you know.
Why are you laughing?
I'm going to laugh at that.
Are you going to laugh at that?
I was just talking really fast like a rookie.
Okay.
First of all, 200 touchdowns?
He didn't run for 200 touchdowns. Was he?
Going back to, like, Pop Warner?
He'd have to count, like, playing in his schoolyard.
Rookies are dumb.
I think that proves it.
Is that bad, Tiki?
Cut number two.
I mean, that was just funny to me.
Okay.
I mean, he's right, though, at the end. Oh. The only thing to take away is the coaching point. Hold the ball to the end zone.
Yeah.
Really, the only thing to take away is what I said on Monday, which is, dude, that's your first touchdown. Keep the damn ball.
How do you let this not define you, Malachi? Because, you know, you don't want this to define you.
It's not a defining moment for me because imagine if I broke three tackles, you know, juke the guy, and then I dropped the ball when you're in front of the end zone. Still, you still did that same play, you know what I mean? But holding the ball one more yard is not a coaching point for anything. And if they gave me the ball again, you know, I'd do the same thing over and over.
Is he freaking kidding me? If I broke three tackles and I did that, you didn't break three tackles and do that. You made up a fake story that's not even, like, real. What are you talking about?
I'm confused by that one, but the answer is I just got to go play great football. That's the answer. That's how it doesn't define you.
Were you embarrassed, Malachi? Because Jet fans were.
I had a lot.
It's not a defining moment for me.
That's not it. Sorry. Hold on one more time. Malachi, were you embarrassed? Because I was embarrassed.
No, not at all. You know, you just take things with a grain of salt. You don't play the game for a long time. You've seen a lot more or less embarrassing things happen on the field. So for me, it was just a learning experience overall. You know, still extremely excited to run across that end zone line and be able to jet around the field and do all that type of stuff. So it was fun overall.
Come on.
I mean, they won so he can, like, smile and say these things. But you just erase it by being great. Now, if he never turns out to be a great player or do anything great, it's what people will remember about him.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's unfortunate, but that is what it is. It's just the reality of sport. You get moments to define yourself, and whether they're good or bad moments, they're going to define you. and you have to replace it with something else. So until he replaces it with something else that is memorable in a very positive way for Jet fans, this is what people are going to think about when they think about him.
Absolutely.
Now, again, they're lucky that they won this game so that it's not a this cost us a game type of thing. Because trust me, I've had those, right? Oh, that fumble cost us the game. But I was lucky enough to play long enough to replace it with a lot of great moments.
To me, fumbling is far different than...
Yeah, but not in critical moments, not in critical situations, and it loses you a game. That's a big deal.
No, I'm not saying it's not a big deal, and I'm not saying you didn't get crushed on sports talk radio or have to answer that. Like, it is a big deal, right? But it's a physical mistake, right? Is that what a fumble is?
Yeah.
This guy literally dropped the ball before he got to the end zone because he was celebrating. Right.
It's a mechanical mistake.
You never had a fumble like that, bro.
It's a mechanical mistake. It's not really a physical.
Okay,
I
apologize. Mechanics.
It's just not doing things the right way. This is a mental just F up.
Isn't that far worse?
Of course it is. Because it's entirely preventable by you.
Yeah.
Right?
What concerns me, and tell me I'm wrong here, is that he didn't sound like he gets it. He sounded like, it happened.
Well, I hate rookies.
I think part of that, though, is his coaches like saying, it's all good. Don't let it happen again. Right? They're not killing him about this.
How would you have handled this? I know you would have never done this, too, by the way, but let's just say you did.
Handle it with him as a player?
No, like you are the one that did what he did. Like it's going to be your first rushing touchdown.
Been ridiculously self-deprecating.
Okay.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. I'm an idiot.
I would have loved that as a fan.
Right. I'm an idiot. It won't happen again. Trust me. Plus, it's my first touchdown. I want to keep it. So I'm holding on to it. You can't take that thing away from me ever.
Yeah.
Right? You got to acknowledge what happened. If you don't, then people are like, what's wrong with you, dude?
He kind of didn't acknowledge it, though.
Yeah. Well, he did. He just dismissed it. He just dismissed it.
So are you okay with that? You okay with his answers?
Because they won the game, yes.
Does that really make it okay,
100%.
Though? But it's not like he was the reason they won the game.
It doesn't matter. They didn't lose the game because of him.
They almost did.
True, but they didn't lose the game because of him.
So you're in the locker room. You got no issue with the way he handled that.
Because you won the game? No.
Okay. I'm trying to see if this makes me feel better. Because usually Tiki makes me feel better. Mm. But honestly, I'm still kind of pissed off at him.
I mean, you should be. But it didn't cost the game.
I know, but it could have. And it was embarrassing.
But it didn't.
He had nothing to do with them then not having the game be cost by him dropping a football before the goal line.
Right, but they won the game. It's a team sport. Somebody else probably did something really stupid as well.
Yeah.
We just didn't see it.
Fair. But that one, I don't know.
Rookies suck.
I need that Tiki right now to make me feel better. I need to just go off on.
No, you just want your pound of salt. That's all.
I want the guy to be great. He's the Yak King. Like, I want Malachi Corley to be awesome. I want to buy a Malachi Corley jersey for Spence in 3 years. Like, that's my youngest son. Like, obviously, I want him to be great. It was just so confounding to see that. And while they won, and you're right, like, who cares, they won, it still bothers me. And then to hear him answer those questions that way,
right,
which
you do have to accept it. It's so easy just to say, I was an idiot.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I needed.
Yes. Okay, that's where I was wondering. I've sat, Tiki, got to be honest with you, a year and a half, that's the most stunned I've been at a response to a take that you've had.
What's that?
That, you know what, they won the game, so you just, whatever. Like, to me, I think you want him. It's so boneheaded just to step up there and say, thank you that my teammates picked me up. That cannot happen, right, and it will not happen again.
Exactly, and if you do that, people will forget about it.
But it didn't sound like he was really taking ownership.
No, he wasn't, but it didn't cost him the game.
He keeps going back to that.
I'm just telling you, it didn't cost him. Now, if he does it again or something else boneheaded, then that really becomes your M.O., it becomes what you're known for. It becomes what people now expect of you. And that's not a good thing.
Mm. Right? Starts building the Tay Banks resume of quitting.
Right, exactly. Yes. No, exactly.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if the Giants had won that game against the Eagles, we probably wouldn't have talked much about it. Like, you know what? You can't quit on that play, but it didn't hurt them. They won the game. And it wouldn't linger with
you. Well, you know what's funny? You're right. Like, if the Jets had lost that game, I think this conversation about Corley would have dominated the radio station a lot more than it did. It turned out to be a moment in the game. And yes, it bothers me a little bit now, but it would have been 50 times worse if they lost.
Yes, but it's the nature of the team aspect of football. right? You depend on every player.
Yeah.
And the guys, even though he didn't say it, as Sean eloquently would have said it, the guys picked him up.
They did. And they need to win on Sunday against Arizona. I'll give you a Jets stat that is probably the most depressing thing you've ever heard coming up, plus more of your calls on the Yankees, the Mets, the pursuit of Juan Soto, and, of course, the Giants and Jets and Knicks fans at 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki, how we doing today on another just ridiculously pretty Thursday? It's so pretty I wore shorts today. Today was a shorts day. Second straight day in the middle of November, I'm wearing shorts, and I'm proud of it. And I said this to my wife as I left. I said, I think this is it. I think this is the last day I'm wearing shorts. I think November 7th, 2024 is it. Now, maybe I'm wrong, Teak. Maybe we get another 75-degree day at some point.
No.
But I don't know, man. Look at my legs. Aren't they sexy, too?
Yeah, they are. Nice and super white.
Thank you.
Yeah, the sun is free, by the way.
We need rain more than anything.
Yeah, it hasn't rained in a while.
Forget the heat. I don't think it's rained in over 30 days.
Yeah.
It's been longer. It's probably longer than
that. Are we droughting right now?
I mean, it's got to be a drought if you don't rain in a month.
Have you looked at your lawn, Evan?
My lawn looks great.
You have your sprinkles on?
Yeah. Oh, crap. I never turned them off. You're supposed to turn them off like in October, but I don't know, man. The weather's been so great. I was like, what am I doing?
We closed our pool beginning of October.
Yeah.
We turned the sprinklers off because it's going to get cold soon.
Right.
So our lawn is like baked. Just like everybody else is in the neighborhood.
Except for mine.
But you don't even realize it. The only reason I realized it is that today, Tracy and I took the girls to lunch because they're off of school. And so we went to the diner. We're watching the TV in the diner, and there's like wildfires in South Jersey.
Really?
I'm like, there's wildfires? She's like, yeah, we had one on Eisenhower Parkway, which is like right behind our house.
Damn.
And I was like, when? She's like, you were away at a game, but they had it was a day and a half of wildfires. They contained it. And the reason that these things are breaking out is because we haven't had rain.
You know, it's funny that you say that. Like, you start to think, like, when was the last time it rained? And it's a long time ago.
Yeah. It's like 30-plus days.
Yeah. So we need rain. So you know what I've learned from this conversation? I'm shutting off my sprinklers because it seems very selfish that I have them on. I never even thought about that.
Westchester's drouting. Evan's got a plush green lawn.
It was more the laziness of the weather's so nice. Why am I in a rush to shut the sprinklers off?
Right.
More than I'm just stealing water.
Remember when you grew out your beard, Evan, for Pete Alonso? It possible, just throwing it out there, that Mother Nature is waiting for Juan Soto to sign a contract, and when he does, we will get rain?
I just looked
at the forecast. There's no rain for like the next 2 weeks.
Sunday?
Sunday. Looks like Sunday night into Monday, getting some rain.
By the way, that's the perfect.
And it's probably 35% or something chance.
You're hitting it.
There we go. So 75% chance.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be nothing.
Yeah.
It's going to dissipate as we get closer.
Matter of fact, the rain percentage is the same as the Jets' playoff percentage.
18%. Lovely.
18%.
Better than the Giants.
Speaking of which, I read odds this morning that made me sick to my stomach. And this is not anti-Aaron Rodgers, because maybe Aaron Rodgers would make a good president. But Aaron Rodgers was listed in the latest 2028 presidential odds. Actually, yesterday,
really?
At the very end of our show, Tiki and I made our official 2028 presidential predictions. You can rewind on the Odyssey app to yesterday, or you can go to the Evan and Tiki podcast. We're not going to do that again. That's a one-time thing. You heard it that day, and you will not hear it again until we do a show in, let's say, August of 2028, when I'm like, hey, Tiki! Do you remember our predictions?
Will we know by then?
Yes. Yeah, that's convention.
Now, we should know.
We'll know by April.
We should probably revisit it right before pitchers and catchers.
That's true.
So
as primary season is beginning.
As primary season is going on, and we'll see if either one of our selections are close to being in the conversation.
Or if they're even running.
That's true. That's a good point.
So along these odds of different candidates, so the odds I was looking at, released by all these little offshore or onshore gambling sites, is who's going to be the next president, right? And that's an interesting one because it's kind of an open seat, right? You know, Trump can't run again, so it's not him. So who the heck is it? Aaron Rodgers was listed with 500-1 odds. Okay, there's a few celebrities in there,
500
too.
500-1.
500-1.
Four more years?
Yeah.
I would think it would be significantly longer than that.
Really? Like 1,000-1?
Yeah.
By the way, Aaron.
Or 20, or I don't know, 2,000, 4,000?
I'm not even kidding you. Aaron Rodgers had better odds to be president in 4 years than Kamala Harris did. And I was like, wow, okay, so they're saying that's over. So 500-1. All right. And there's a lot of celebrities in there, like Dwayne The Rock Johnson is up there. He actually has pretty good odds. Stephen A. Smith will now be up there, basically saying he wants to run for president on The View earlier today or yesterday. So he's 500-1. Okay, well, Evan, why does that matter? Here's what matters. Right now,
the Jets Super Bowl odds are 600-1. So what you're telling me is that Aaron Rodgers has a better chance to be the president of the United States than the Jets to win the Super Bowl. That's where we are, Jet fans.
This is why I hate gambling. I mean, I'm serious.
But does that...
Because it's, I mean, you're not wrong. What you're saying is not wrong, because the Jets do have very long odds to win a Super Bowl. But the fact that Aaron Rodgers, who dabbled, I mean, the first time I ever heard of Aaron Rodgers even thinking about politics was when JFK Jr. thought about tapping him as his running mate.
Right.
Now, he ultimately didn't go that route, but I didn't even thought about him being a politician.
Oh, yeah.
And now he's got 500-1 odds to win the presidency?
See, here's the thing about Aaron.
That's crazy.
Aaron Rodgers wanted to be the Jeopardy host. It did not work out. Aaron Rodgers wants to be Tom Brady as a football player. That has not worked out. So the only way to top all the other great quarterbacks is to be the president of the United States. All right? Tom Brady's making a ton of money on Fox, and he's also an NFL co-owner. The only way for Aaron Rodgers to trump all of that, is to just become president.
That's a good point.
So
I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah. I would not even be surprised if this is a thing in a couple of years. But before that, Aaron, can you at least get my stinking team to the playoffs?
Wait, how much is Tom Brady's contract?
Oh, my God.
$370?
Yeah, it's like half a Soto.
Right. But that's basically what Aaron Rodgers has made in his entire career.
Crazy.
It's nuts.
So the only way to top Tom Brady is to be the president and then, you know, say, hey, Tom, how's it feel now?
I'd vote for him.
Aaron Rodgers?
Yep.
Let's see what he's got to say. I've heard a few things. 888-808-1019, the number. JR is in Somerville. How are you, JR?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up?
Excellent, man. What's up?
Not much. Great meeting you guys at American Dream. I was the only, one of four black guys there between Kiki Lavernius, the guy who is security, who should probably be playing tackle for Giants this week. That was a good time.
It was good seeing you.
But,
that's funny. We couldn't miss you.
Anyway, this is a message to Evan with this independent observer BS that he says before trolling the team. This early in the Knicks season, you're not going to get away with doing that to the Knicks, all right? You don't have enough Knicks defenders or fans amongst the group of y'all to really police this, but, you know, the message is coming out right now.
What have I said, JR, that was trolling the Knicks today? Today I was very fair. I actually defended them and thought that whistle on calling goaltending really kind of killed the mojo of the Knicks. So I have not been critical or even trolling of the Knicks. Now, if you want me to troll the Knicks, I'll do it right now. Like, I'll do something such as, how many picks you give up for Mikal Bridges there, buddy? How many? 6, 7, 8? Now you want to give up more? Like, I could do that, but I haven't done that today, JR.
Well, look, you just did it, all right? You just did it with Bridges. You did it with Brunson. You called him, you know, whatever. And, you know, you say things like, oh, it's a 5-point game. You should win it with 3 minutes. It's the NBA. No, you should not.
Yes, you should. Right? When you're playing the Hawks and there's 2.5 minutes to go and you're up by 5, I respectfully disagree with you. Can't lose that game.
What are you talking about? It's 2 buckets. But no, here's the best. I don't even care about last night's game. The Knicks would be fine.
Yeah.
Just stop with the independent observer and then throwing in some shade afterwards.
JR, I respect what you're saying.
That's how he works.
But I didn't work that way today. I've said nothing trolly until you started with me. You started with me. JR, who I know, is a good guy. I think we DM each other once in a while. He started.
I'm trying to think if there was anything trolly now that I have to revisit this.
Nothing.
Nothing trolly. Tommy, Knicks fan.
He's got nothing.
Trolly.
He could try, but
nothing. With the Knicks, he was fine. Where he was trolly, and I brought it up as he six this goon on me who works for the coalition of Knick haters that Evan leads up. That's where he was trolly.
First of all, the only trolly thing was the text message.
Yeah, but that's, first of all, that wasn't on the radio, so I didn't do anything on the radio. I brought up the text exchange. I did, but I also didn't tell Sean to do anything because I was DVRing the Knicks.
Like, It just happened by osmosis.
Really?
Yes.
Sean, you're making me look bad.
Got a text from, because I was criticized for not answering this last night. So, Knick fans, this is the text I got in our group chat from Sean. Knicks lottery pick looking more valuable. It's 7 games into the season!
You know why I was annoyed with him, Luke? Seriously? And I'm going to be honest about something, and it shows my dark side.
Yes.
I feel bad, but my dark side. So, I'm watching the Knick game. I'm a little bit behind. I'm not, like, terribly behind, but I'm behind. And in basketball, being behind by 5 minutes can be a lot.
Yeah.
Because all you take is one run, the whole game changes.
So I was very liberal with my phone. Like, I wasn't protecting that I was behind by not checking my text messages. That's on me. So I see that text from Sean, which is like, the pick looks valuable.
Right.
Then I see a text from my dear friend Mike Baseglia, who hosts a wonderful podcast called Bad Weather Fans, mm-hmm. about the Knicks and Nets and all that. And he texts me, thank God we traded Bridges. Okay? So I see these two text messages. It's like late third quarter.
Right. And so either one of these could have been in the middle of the game, or not quite at the end of the game.
Not quite at the end of the game. Right. So I don't know specifically, but what I thought...
They were at the end of the game, by the way.
I know.
Okay, but fair enough.
Of course they were.
I don't know that.
But you could have gotten that. They could have been down by, I don't know, 8 or something.
Absolutely. But that's not what I took from it. What I took from it was that Mikal Bridges got seriously hurt. That's what I took from it. First of all,
that was Baseglia. That wasn't...
No, Sean, too. Because when you say the lottery odds look better, bro. They're not going to be in the lottery. So I'm assuming injury. And then when my friend Mike says, thank God we traded Bridges, I was under the assumption watching the fourth quarter, oh my God, and I don't want this to happen because I like him as a human, but I also want a lottery pick. So what do you want from me? So I'm expecting him to be hurt.
Yeah.
And the last thing I thought was that the Knicks would just blow a 5-point lead with 2.5 minutes to go. Like, whatever.
You're sick. You know that?
How am I sick?
Because the Knicks are under 500. That's all it meant.
Chill out, man. Chill out.
Tiki, we may not have moments like this to get Tommy Olansky, so why not go with that now?
So this is why I think you threw Evan off, and this is why I did not respond to the troll. You have this that you could hang over my head, but you used it in November.
Yeah, I can't use it in November.
Sometimes I understand you want to go to bed, so you're quick, but there's other times where you want to, you know, get into it.
No,
Tommy. You had a good line there. You should use that in either December, January. Tommy. Bro, 7 games in when they lose to the Hawks, you use a line like that?
Tommy, I say this with all due respect. This is how much respect I have for the uncrowned champions. I don't think I'm going to have the ability to use it in December, January. It was just a little fun November text.
Because here's what Sean knows and what I know.
Because they're good.
They're
going to be good.
Well, enjoy them not being good now.
That's what we have over some emotional Knicks fans. We know you're going to be fine. Like, are there some issues? Of course. But we know overall there's no reason to panic. I'll never forget. Do you remember on opening night a few years ago they beat the Celtics and the bing bong started?
Oh, yes, yes.
So, bing bong started. It actually turned out to be a terrible year for the Knicks. They got off to a great start under Tom Thibodeau.
And now everybody hates the bing bong.
Well, I think a part of why they hated the bing bong was because they started off 5-1 or 6-1, I'm trying to remember correctly, and then had a terrible year. They won 38 games. They missed the playoffs. And a buddy of mine, that same Mike Baseglia, said, oh my God, if the Knicks don't make the playoffs, I cannot wait to tweet out from bing bong to ping pong. And I said, bro, that's a great line.
That is a great line.
But you gotta save it. Don't use it in December when they're on a 4-game losing streak. You gotta save it.
And when did he use it?
He used it when they were in the lottery. Bing bong to ping pong. And it was beautiful. And it was like, there you go. So it's kind
hard.
Of this,
it's hard to be patient, though.
Premature, man.
And if you never use it, you never use it. I don't even want to know how many tweets Evan has bookmarked. It'll probably make the devil cry. He's got thousands of things on all of us that he's waiting to unleash. Sometimes he'll never do it because it never comes up.
Fair point.
And you know what? Oh, well, it goes into the ether. You know it. You have a chuckle maybe with a friend of yours. I know.
You see what I have on
I
my
I know
phone.
You got stuff bookmarked for everybody, but Sean should have just sat on it.
What I want to warn Sean about is premature moculation. You can't be doing it. Okay? You got to keep your mocks until the time is right. But you were very premature with your moculation, and that's what happened. So
I won't apologize.
Anyhow, thank you very much for the call. I like that guy.
By the way, on pace for the 7th overall pick right now.
Shut up. Let's go to Steve in Bayside. How are we doing today, Steve?
Good, but I can't believe that you keep making the argument that the Yankees would be better with a Stars and Scrubs setup on their roster. That's just not the way you build winning teams. When you say that,
say that again, Steve.
He's arguing for Stars and Scrubs. The Yankees,
Scrubs. I got it. One star and then Scrubs everywhere else. I got you.
Yeah, that's not how you build a winning team. And the Yankees have to be better than that. They have to do both.
Okay, so I agree in a perfect world you would re-sign Juan Soto and get more stars. We are in lockstep. But you're telling me, because I think Alex Bregman's a really good player. I think Pete Alonso's a really good player. Do you think that two guys into their 30s on bigger contracts in which you're probably paying for their past more than their future is actually better than the all-time great generational player? And I wouldn't say scrub, but the younger, cheaper, more unknown player? Because I disagree with you if that's your opinion.
Well, look, that's not my off-season plan anyway. I'm thinking that the Yankees are going to make a trade for Josh Naylor. I'm thinking they're going to go get Christian Walker. And I'm hoping they sign Juan Soto. That's a team that
can
win.
That's a great idea, Steven. I'm with you on stuff like that.
It's
like
got to be the other way around, though.
Yeah.
Well, Soto's got to be first.
Well, Soto's got to be first. And what I'm afraid for him is that guys who cost money, and I'm not sure about Josh Naylor. Like, it's an interesting idea. By the way, that'd be fun. Right. Josh Naylor in New York after the whole thing with Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
And just Josh Naylor being one of those guys that you just don't like if you're a Yankee fan. But I guess you learn to
love
him. But
if he's yours, you don't mind. You don't care.
Naylor's an interesting idea because he's a free agent in 2 years. Mm-hmm. So if you're a small market team like the Cleveland Guardians, do you look at him with 2 years left of control and say, this is the time to trade him? But in converse, if you're the Yankees, is that the guy you want to give up valuable prospect capital for? Probably not, but it's an interesting idea. Trades are always fun because trades are the ones that you could just pick out of the sky. But then you don't know if they're available. You don't know what the cost is. Like, there's so many other variables to it, but they're fun. Love trades. Trades are
right. But you also don't know how it ultimately plays out for sometimes a while.
Yeah. I got a trade idea. I'm going to throw a random trade idea. Cody Bellinger. He just opted into the final couple years of his contract. Yeah. It's not a crazy contract.
Yeah.
I didn't like Cody on a long-term deal. Can play first base, can play the outfield, left-hand hitter. What up?
What did he hit? 14 home runs this year?
I think he had 18. He didn't have a great year last year.
Sorry. 18 home runs.
I nailed it. 18 home runs. 266, 750 OPS, 18 home runs, 78 RBIs. Mm. And he's got, because
he had a down year last year. That's why he had to settle for the 1 year with the opt, right?
No, he actually, believe it or not, he actually had a really good bounce-back season, but it wasn't enough for teams to pay him.
Mm.
Like, they were concerned the way I was, saying, I don't know how good he is. So that's why he signed the contract with the opt-out. So he's making, he signed in 25 and 26 with player options. See, deals like that I like because, A, I don't think you have to give up a lot, and then, B, you're not committing long-term.
Yeah.
So you have a guy in the prime of their career.
But, dude, we fantasize about Juan Soto. You just saw him here for a year. If you have Juan Soto for a year and you don't get him and you pivot then to trading for Bellinger?
No, that's not what I said. That's not what I meant.
He meant also.
Also.
Also, okay.
Yeah, no.
I was going to say that's meeting a girl on Tinder with Sydney Sweeney pics and she shows up at Applebee's, looks like Roseanne Barr. You're like, oh, my God.
No, I get what you're saying, even though I thought that was very, sexist to even bring up. But fine, you do. I just wanted to make you feel uncomfortable, You can direct all tweets to @SeanMorash. We don't support his kind
more of... Ash.
More Ash. What did I say?
Marash.
Oh, more Ash.
Ash.
M-O-R-A-S-H. Yes. Or more Ash.
Yeah, more Ash.
Relax, you're not Sade. It's more Ash.
Okay.
Calm down.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Don't church it up, son. It's dirt.
I was saying in conjunction with
that's
bringing
movie,
back Sade.
By the way, I'm not calling Sean Dirt.
What movie? Joe Dirt?
Joe Dirt. Where he's like, what's your name? Joe Dirt-tay? Don't church it up.
Well, that's how I knew it, because you said the name of the movie as you were describing it. Bob's in Comac. What's up, Bob?
Good afternoon, boys. How are you?
All's good.
Pretty good. Listen, two things. The second one is going to be about the Mets, but I got to go down the Nick rabbit hole because of what Evan's saying. First thing, do you realize that Atlanta Hawks broadcaster just broadcast his 3,000th consecutive game?
Wow, I didn't realize that. Good for him. He's still he still decided to troll Jalen Brunson at the end of the game for no reason.
But that's impressive. I mean, think about how long that is. That's impressive.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's like 29 years. Maybe you could scratch that whole thing up to old age, but that's a long time.
By the way, I'm doing the math. If you go 82 games, and I know there's some playoffs involved probably, but let's just do the 82-game thing, that's 37 years.
Wow.
That's insane. Wow, good for him.
He just did it October 23rd. Okay, here's the second thing. I was going to talk about the Mets, but I got to jump on this Knicks thing.
Yeah.
Evan, you said you were not trolling the Knicks with this whole diatribe. Okay.
Correct. Yes.
You said that the Knicks should have won the game.
Correct.
Up by five with 2.5 minutes to go.
Okay.
Yes.
Now, that's like an eternity in basketball. You're talking six possessions. You're talking 3-pointers. So are you comfortable if you're watching your beloved Nets and they're up by five with 2.5 to say, this is a lot.
No, no,
and
no,
it felt, and it
no.
felt like forever.
No, and you know why? You know why, Bob? You got me crazy. You know why I wouldn't be comfortable with a 5-point lead with 2.5 minutes to go? Just like I wasn't comfortable with a 5-point lead against the Cavs on opening night last night with a minute to go, or last year with a minute to go. You want to know why? I'm going to look at the camera when I say this, Bob, because they suck. That's why. Because they're not good.
You didn't know it on opening night.
Oh, right. I didn't know it, but it was a kind of a hint that
it wasn't confirmed on opening night.
But I know it now. Huh. And so keep this in mind. When you have a 5-point lead with 2.5 minutes to go, nobody's saying it's insurmountable. No one's ever suggesting that. But what are the odds? Let's play that game, a little math game. What are the odds that the team down 2.5 minutes to go, and the other team has the ball, by the way, possession of the ball, what are the odds that that team's going to win? I'd say the odds are very, very low. What are the odds that that team's going to win when they're not as good as the other team? When you've got Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns and Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby. Like, you should win that game. For that to be something that annoys you is beyond me. Of course you should win that game when you're set up with a 5-point lead with 2.5 minutes to go. It's not the end of the world. I'm not saying you should cut Jalen Brunson. I'm not telling you the team sucks. I'm saying that last night was the kind of night, and this is where I know I can transform myself into a Knicks fan very easily. You know how I know this? Because CP, the franchise, said the exact same freaking thing that I'm about to describe differently. When I watched that game last night, my thought was, how would I feel if I'm a Nets fan? Or how would I feel if I'm a Knicks fan? I'm a Nets fan. And my answer would be, that loss would piss me off. Because that's a game I had. And I was curious, what do Knicks fans think in regards to the game? Not the season. Mm-hmm. Not if I'm concerned about the team. Because I'm not concerned about the team. Nor should you be this early. And I said, I'm curious. Is CP going to be a homer the way Tommy Lugauer is? Or is he going to at least express, I'm angry about this? And he had the same feeling I had, which is, pissed we lost that game. As you should be. That's a game you shouldn't lose. It doesn't mean you stink. It means it's a game you shouldn't lose. So don't compare it to the Nets because they stink.
Right. I mean, thank you. The reality of that game last night is it as good as Karl Anthony Towns was? I mean, you talked yesterday about how they need to shoot more three-pointers.
They did that very well.
They shot 47 last night.
They listened to me.
They overshot the Atlanta Hawks.
That's right.
But the Atlanta Hawks had 16 more attempts. So they get crushed on the board.
Yeah.
Like, the second-chance opportunities for the Hawks. And those are the things, I don't want to say they're effort things, but they kind of are. Think about last year with the Knicks when Jalen Brunson, or not Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart more specifically, was, I don't know, 8 to 10 rebounds a game.
Mm.
And it was effort. It was want to. It was outplaying the individual opponent. And it's early in the season, so I'm not worried about this because I think in time, that's what Josh Hart will do. I think Karl Anthony Towns will also do that. You'll get reinforcements once some of those other big men get healthy. But that's why you lost the game.
I agree.
They took 16 more shots than you did.
But they lost the game because of the way they closed it in the final 2.5 minutes.
Of course.
That's why they lost the game. They were set to win the game.
When it mattered, they didn't make, because they outplayed them.
But yes.
When it mattered, they didn't make buckets.
They had an offense that felt out of sync. They took some bad shots. They weren't aggressive getting the ball to Cat in the paint in the final 2 minutes. And like you mentioned, Clint Capella had a huge offensive rebound.
Huge.
There were things in those final 2 minutes that contributed to a loss. And to me, when I have a good team, when I have the better team on the floor, and I'll say this hopefully about my team someday when they're competent again. Yeah, 5-point lead with 2.5 minutes to go, you win that game.
Yeah, but they don't have a team yet. That's why I'm not pissed off yet. They haven't gelled. The chemistry's not there yet. They just have a lot of talent right now. They're not a team.
Tommy, you're lying to the audience again.
I am not lying. Before the show, I said something to you, and you have not said what I said before the show yet, so
what'd
I'm going to say it. I said that win last night was like when I'm sunbathing and there's a bee around. I'm not pissed off, but I'm annoyed. I'm like, I'm trying to get a little sun here. Can you get away from me?
Here's why I don't
it was
believe
a little
you.
Annoying win, not where I'm pissed off.
Can I tell you why I don't believe you?
Yeah.
The Houston game is that. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's what that game is. The Cleveland game is that. There are certain losses, is the way I feel about basketball, even early in a season, that just are going to annoy me a lot more. And I think, knowing you as a good fan, you're a very good fan, a great Knicks fan, tremendous Knicks fan,
That pissed you off last night.
It didn't.
And that's okay.
It didn't piss me off. No, it didn't piss me off.
Why don't you just say it?
Because I told you how I feel. I said it off air, and now I'm saying it on air. It was like that little annoying that when, what I didn't like the effort. I will say that. But I also look at this team and I go, without Precious, without Mitch, they're hurt on the glass, they're hurt on defense, and they're a work in progress.
He's making excuses, Tiggy.
That's not making excuses.
No, I think he's right. They are a work in progress.
I agree with that. I'm not talking about that part. I'm talking about the excuses on why they lost last night. They couldn't close in the final 2.5 minutes, and that would frustrate me.
Because they're a work in progress right now. God. They are. Mm. What do you mean, oh, God? They're basically, you know, just met each other a week ago.
Do you think they're not?
I'm not oh-godding that, because I agree that they're a work in progress. I'm disagreeing that we're taking the season-long argument into the final 2.5 minutes of a game in which you should have won. That's all I'm saying. I'd be annoyed. I was annoyed about the Nets losing to the Pistons, so maybe I'm just a sensitive biatch, you know what I mean? Maybe that's just me. Maybe it's a me problem.
You know what I don't like about you right now, besides a lot of things? You're telling me how to feel, and I don't appreciate that.
Well, I don't believe that you're being honest with the audience on how you feel.
I am being very honest with the audience.
The Knicks fan's not worried right now.
I never said
that. I think that's what he's saying.
I'm not talking about the Knicks fan being worried. I'm talking about being annoyed about a loss.
If you're not worried, then maybe annoyed is one thing, but pissed off? No.
Men after a loss is very different than being worried about a team. Like, I've had Met games in which I'm annoyed and pissed off about a loss, and I'm not overall worried about the team.
Well, maybe people just get over it easier than you do.
That's why I said it's a me problem, because I'm a sensitive, you know what?
Right.
I think it's a me problem. I take this crap too seriously. I need therapy. Mm. Someone recently told me that I need sports therapy.
You need a sports therapist?
Actually, someone that's famous who told me that. Really? A famous person said it. I think you need sports therapy. And I was like, that's an interesting point. I don't think I can reveal the name because it's a text message, so you don't want to, like...
You don't want to pull a beningo.
Right.
Why are we using that as a verb?
Because he's the only person I can think of that did that.
He beningoed Robert Sala.
That's a good point. Let's go to Ben in Brooklyn. How you doing today, Ben?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking the time.
What's up, man?
So I want to switch vibes a little bit, talk a little bit about the Yankees, talk about Boone. I've been a Boone apologist, if you will, for pretty much his whole tenure. You know, he can't go up there and take the at-bats. He can't go up there and not walk guys. After this World Series, especially given all the stuff that has come out from the Dodgers side of things, where they're just like, yeah, we just, you know, we wanted them to play Yankees baseball and kick the ball around and play this, you know, like, lackadaisical, you know, BS, we don't care type of defense, especially. How on earth can Aaron Boone keep his job? Like, I'm a diehard baseball fan. I work in baseball. Like, I'd like to think I'm fairly knowledgeable about the game. That's a direct indictment on the manager. I'm asking you guys, how can Aaron Boone justifiably keep his job? Thank you.
Being in the World Series, finishing with the best record in the American League,
yep,
and winning the American League pennant. Now, you may not like that answer. I'm sure a lot of Yankee fans may not like that answer. But when you ask, how could you justify keeping a manager because the base running was bad or the defense was bad or they played one of the worst innings in World Series history, it's kind of an easy answer. Well, they just got to the World Series.
Yep.
Most franchises do not fire their manager after they win the American League pennant for the first time in 15 years.
Yeah, and despite feeling like you got the crap beat out of you by the Dodgers, you actually didn't. The games were winnable and close, and it was mistake-ridden. The challenge is exactly what he was just alluding to. You knew all of those issues that cost them that series were going to cost them that series. You knew it was there. We've seen it all season long.
Can those issues be fixed by having better overall defenders and better overall base runners?
But to me,
is it a personnel fix?
To me, it's less personnel. It's more, it's coaching. It's urgency. Mm. It's making regular season games, not all of them, but moments mean something. For the Yankees, it was always just, yeah, we'll be all right. And by the way, they were.
They were until they won.
They got to the World Series.
They were until the fifth inning of Game 5 of the World Series.
Right. They were fine until they weren't.
Yeah. More of your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And speaking of sports therapy, something I need. It's been a long enough time. You've gotten to see it and get used to it. We try to find out if Giant fans are fully over the fact that Saquon Barkley is beasting out in Philadelphia for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.